8 o'clock hour. Welcome back, Jay Binkley. Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Big 12 tournament on the fancy court. 72-67, Texas Tech over Baylor at this point. Of course, the Big 12 tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. On this day, that's the cusp of potato chip day. Do you like potato chips, Jacob? Do you dip your potato chips in mustard? I assume with your last name of Mustard, you dip your potato chips in mustard.
You would be incorrect.
Well, what's your favorite chip? It's tomorrow's potato chip day. Yeah, you got
to
have
see,
one.
See, I'm contradictory to my last name. I'm not a fan of mustard.
Really? You would think that would be the opposite. It's actually a very unique name.
I love the last name. It brings uniqueness to it.
I wish my last name was Beer. Like, I do kind of wish my last name was Beer. I guess I could, you know, change it. Chad Johnson changed his name to Ojo Cinco. I guess I could change my name to Beer.
You very well could.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, everybody likes beer, right? So, you know, celebrate Beer Day and everything else. But yeah, potato chips. Josh Vernier, who joins us, is our Royals insider, who joined from 6 to 7. You know what he does with his potato chips? He's got a habit of turning them upside down. Every chip bag that he opens, he turns upside down. This is one of Vern's quirks that he does, because he says the seasoning, it actually makes a lot of sense. The seasoning kind of drops on the chips. So he just flips it upside down. So he's not that traditionalist that says, I have to open it the right way, put the chip clip on it, you know, whatever. I used to work with the gal, by the way. I used to take scissors and cut it. And I said, what are you going to do? How are you going to, you know, package that up and put a clip on it? She says, I'm not. I'm going to eat the whole bag. And I was like, okay, I respect that. I respect that a ton, if that's what you're going to do. But regardless, whether you're driving around the city, whatnot, it's now finally dark. What a time to turn dark, Jacob. 7:15, 7:20, something like that. I don't know if I saw it. The daylight savings time. Do you like the daylight savings time, or do you like when you're starting the show in the dark?
Because
it is a night show, so it should technically start at night, right?
Yeah, I mean, so mine, I like more daylight. You know, I'd rather be...
So in the evening instead of the morning.
Yeah.
You don't mind it just being dark in the morning and you get your daylight at night.
Yep, because then after work, I mean, I can stay out longer and not feel like it's already midnight at 5 o'clock.
It's true. I mean, they could just keep it the way it is, right? It would save us the time.
I thought that was the plan. At least I heard rumors of that. I mean, that this was going to be the last one, or last year was going to be the last one. I don't know anymore.
Well, you know, things like your Alexa, whatever, that changes time automatically. Your cell phone changes time. But people still have to, you know, change their microwave at times, or their stove, or their vehicles. It's a lot easier to do it now. But, you know, it's like Arizona where Vern's at. They don't change times. So it becomes 2 hours earlier. So when he's on in the morning, it's actually 2 hours prior. They were just 1 hour back. Now, 2 hours back since we sprung forward in daylight savings time. But like states like Arizona, Hawaii, they don't recognize it. So I don't know. It is kind of nice, to be honest with you. Like, half the show's at light, half the show's in the dark. Don't know which I like better. It was, you know, in the winter, it gets dark at 5 o'clock hour, and you come on at 6, and it's, you know, really a night show. But regardless, Big 12 tournament rolling on for the Kansas City Chiefs. Big 12 scoreboard update brought to you by Pal Exteriors for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Pal Exteriors, kcandpowell.com. 72-69, this game is close now. Baylor within 3 points of Texas Tech, just 24.7 seconds, almost 25 seconds remaining in this first half. Kansas is supposed to start at 8:30. Did you ever think that game was actually going to start at 8:30? It never does. That's college basketball. If you watch like the last minute or 2 minutes, it takes like an hour. Like, that's a real problem with this sport. That's a real problem with the sport. Or like soccer with the extra time, you don't actually know how much time's on the clock. Like, timing is important for sports fans. We are the fast food generation. We like to get in, get out fast. That's what we like to do. You know, they shorten things up in the NFL. They've shortened the games up, and people like it. They've shortened baseball up, and people really seem to like it. Although when I was doing the Royals Insider, I never saw anybody really complain they went to the game that's shortened because they would drive up from Wichita or, you know, drive in from Salina or Western Kansas. They'd come in and they'd come down from Des Moines, come down from Iowa and come down from Lincoln, Nebraska, whatever. And they wouldn't complain because more baseball means more time to drink beer and enjoy hot dogs and whatever baseball has to offer. But if you're watching on TV and it's background noise, you like the quicker game, you can get in and out as far as that is concerned. But as far as the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid was at the Big 12 tournament today supporting his BYU Cougars who won today. He had his BYU jacket on. He did that last year too. He still supports his alma mater in BYU as he was rocking around the Big 12 tournament. People, Iowa State fans, were getting their picture with him. You name it, was getting their picture with Andy Reid. Maybe the taste of the Super Bowl loss, it was tough to stomach. That was. That game was tough to stomach. It was tough to watch TV. It was tough to watch NFL Network. It was tough to watch ESPN because of the Chiefs getting their tails kicked in on national TV in the Super Bowl. But you know what? If you want to stay on the bright side, at least they were, quote, in the Super Bowl. And this team has gone to the end every year. It's like I couldn't believe the people when the Chiefs rested players the final week of the season, which every other team that's in contention did the same thing. If they didn't have a spot to lose or home field advantage to lose, they would do it. I remember the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen played one play, and he did it to keep his consecutive start streak playing against your Patriots. Josh Allen played one play, and they played a lot of backups, and the Rams, they didn't get any crap for it. They played backups the final week of the season. The Chiefs did it, and oh my God, the world's ending. The Kansas City Chiefs played their backups. But yet, nobody was talking about the fact they've essentially played a season longer than any other NFL team because Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and since he's been starter since 2018, they've either gone to the AFC title game, lost in overtime, or gone to the Super Bowl and won it or lost it. Which is insane, the fact that Mahomes has either gone to the AFC title game in overtime and or gone to the Super Bowl, a factor that nobody in the history of this fine and glorious game of football has ever been able to say at the quarterback position. So that's what Mahomes has been able to do. As far as the draft is concerned with the Kansas City Chiefs, money doesn't always translate to success. I know that you know, people talking about the money that the Patriots have spent. Let's not forget the fact that the Carolina Panthers were a top three spending team last year. How'd that work out for them? So spending a bunch of money in free agency, especially this year when the free agents, you know, aren't that great. 2024, a year where the Carolina Panthers were 5-12. They did have a 3-win increase. Who cares? Right? You win 5 games, it's a 3-win increase. They spent almost $260 million in free agency last year. You remember that? Did it translate to wins for Carolina? No, it didn't translate at all for Carolina. The Denver Broncos back in 2023 spent almost $260 million. Of course, a lot of that was still, you know, paying off Russell Wilson. You know what the Broncos' record in 2023 was? 8-9, a 3-win increase. So Jacksonville Jaguars, the year before, 2022, they spent almost $273 million when they brought in Christian Kirk for the big contract, Brandon Scherff, Darius Williams. They brought him in. They finished 9-8. Yeah, it was a 6-win increase, but big deal. It was 9-8. 2021, the Patriots spent almost $292 million leading the way. You know what their record was that year? 10-7. Nice 3-win increase. But really, when you look at the last decade, all but what, no teams have gone to the actual Super Bowl and won it? Yeah, they've gone there. The Jets in 2018 were the biggest spenders in football. Remember the Tennessee Titans last year? They were a top three spending team. They're picking number one on the clock with the worst record in the National Football League. And they spent all that money bringing in players. They bring in the trade with L'Jarius Sneed. You bringing them in. They signed everybody on defense. Oh, that team's going to be good, but they didn't have a quarterback. And you've got to have a quarterback to be a winning team because Will Levis is not the answer. According to Fox Sports, except for the 2016 Jaguars, the team that spent the most money in free agency increased their win total by at least 3 in the following season. However, 7 of those 8 teams saw their win total decrease the following season. The 2024 Panthers free agent class still pending. Of the top three spenders in free agency each class, only two, the Jags in 17, the Packers in 2019, reached the conference championships that same year. None reached the Super Bowl in the last decade. There were top three spenders in the National Football League in free agency. Only four of the teams that spent the most money in free agency have gone on to make the playoffs in the same year of the last 10 seasons. Only four teams that spent the most money in free agency made the playoffs. Imagine that. So there's not this huge translation to going out and spending the money. Now, it's done through the draft. I know it looks good. Oh, it's, you know, your team just signed XYZ player. But, man, players fall off that cliff fast. They fall off that cliff real fast. You know, they're moving cities, they have families, they have to get their kids in a different school, they're moving. You know, it's not the end-all, be-all. You know, it's not the answer key to bring in free agents and you think, ooh, we're going to win. No, it's done through the draft. Look at the Eagles and what they've been able to do. Howie Roseman's done a great job in the draft. And they've taken a lot of those players, flipped them. They have 20 picks the next 2 years. They're going to keep that team rolling because you're going to get guys on rookie contracts. Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs have actually done a great job of it as well. Are you going to be 100% on draft picks? I think oftentimes we look at the Chiefs draft through a microscope, but they've done a great job. And I've brought it up before, bringing it up again. After Super Bowl 57 in the parade, you know, Brett Veach comes to the podium, holds up the Lombardi Trophy, his second at that time, and he said this is what a rebuild looks like as he's holding Lombardi. Because that's true. Because you go ahead and get like a Trey Smith, sixth round. You get seventh round Jalen Watson. You go out and get your leading rusher, Isaiah Pacheco, in the seventh round. But that's what a rebuild looks like because you're getting guys on the cheap. And you can afford to have your quarterback taking up more of the salary cap, which the Chiefs have had the dubious honor the last couple of years of the quarterback taking up the most cap space of any quarterback that's ever won a Super Bowl like they did when they beat the Niners. So you can do this and you can circumvent things if you do it through the draft. That's why I've never been a big fan of capping quarterback salary. Quarterback salaries are getting ridiculous. They're getting incredibly ridiculous. I knew Sam Darnold was going to get paid. You know why? Because there's a big bag of crap for quarterbacks in the National Football League. They're not there. It's just not there. Everybody wants their Mahomes or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, the Lamar Jackson, even though, except for Mahomes, those guys haven't won crap. But everybody wants that guy to turn around their franchise. And it's just not that easy. You know, they go out and draft a guy like Will Levis in Tennessee, like that's going to be their answer. We made fun of that the whole year. We made fun of Will Levis, but yet the Titans thought, okay, you know, let's go out and draft Will Levis because everybody's starving for a quarterback. The Falcons, I think, were smart. They give the bag to Kirk Cousins. He goes in there, but they still draft Penix because they had a top 10 pick. And they said, you know, this next year of crop of quarterbacks sucks. And the year after that might too. And we have a chance in the top 10 to draft the Michael Penix. And that's what they do. But that's why Sam Darnold got the big money. That's why Sam Darnold got paid, because everybody wants their quarterbacks. And you knew Sam Darnold had a good year, but man, he fell off towards the end, and you got to be good at the end. That's what quarterbacks are made of, what you do in the postseason and beyond. That's what you're made of. But, you know, Sam Darnold, you know, teams are going to pay it because teams are starving the quarterback. Russell Wilson's out there, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, teams are thinking, well, if they come in there, the Giants or Steelers, they can make a difference, because that's how starved teams are in quarterbacks. That's why if you cap the quarterback salaries, which I know are getting ridiculous, each and every time a quarterback signs, like a Dak Prescott, Mahomes keeps sliding down the list, but the Chiefs have been able to draft well. And it's tough to have your quarterback already paid and draft well, but the Kansas City Chiefs are in the perfect position because they're paying their quarterback, and yet they're going out and drafting. So why would you want to cap that? No, you want other teams to spend as much money and have the anchors of quarterbacks that cost these franchises dearly. It only helps the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, these other quarterbacks have gotten these contracts. Josh Allen just got another contract, even though he was already in one with Buffalo. They went ahead and paid him anyway, which is really weird. Lamar Jackson, you know, represent himself. He got the big money. Joe Burrow's got the big money. You know how many Super Bowls these guys have won with the big money? None. Dak Prescott got paid at the beginning of the year last year. Guess what? Didn't win. Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback that got paid and has won. That's the biggest difference, is paying your quarterback and seeing them actually win. Coming back, though, Matt Miller had some other interesting things to say about the draft this year. We'll talk about that next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Beer here with you. Not really, Jay Binkley, but I do want to change my name to Beer. We do have interesting names tonight. Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Jason Hyen from his Buffalo Wild Wings fame for the Fans Football Show in tonight with him as well. And we have Hyen Mustard or Mustard High. I like the sound of that. It's interesting. Hyen Mustard. But not like high as in how you doing. It's high as in 420. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? It's illegal in Missouri, you know. Do you live in Missouri, Jason? What are we talking about? We can gamble, too. We got to wait. We can only do the higher low now on DraftKings and Underdog Sports, which is cool that you can do it. But, you know, come the summer, it's
game on. I'm waiting for the summer for sure. Take some of that betting show's advice.
We can gamble here, though. You can gamble when you're sitting in the studio because you're in Kansas.
True. I have a buddy who there's that highway exit that you can go to where you just cross the state line.
Oh, those are popular. There's cars in droves, lines up there. They call it the Quick Trip Casino near the state line there, the Quick Trip Casino, because guys on Sunday mornings or ladies are going down there and placing their bets in the National Football League. They're going and doing it. The last 2 years I've been with Vern in the Royals pregame show on Sundays, giving great advice out. This year wasn't so great. But the year before was great advice. Started slow, but came on strong because I went Bobby Witt Jr. like almost every time on prop bets. But we do that station-wide thing where we everybody goes on with Vern at a different time, and you say who's going to hit a home run, who's going to get the four bases on the day, who's going to steal a base. You name it. Cody's been very good at it, too. Like, Cody Tapp's got that innate ability. He called a couple home runs last year, and it actually happened that night. So if you took Cody's advice, you made yourself some cash. But it's time for scores now, the Big 12 tournament. The Big 12 scoreboard update is brought to you by Pal Exteriors KC for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Pal Exteriors KC and palkc.com. We've got a final in the books. Do you think Mahomes went to the game? Do you think he's actually in Kansas City? Think he's going to meet the new crew, the new guys, his new left tackle? Jalen Moore was in town. Texas Tech beats Baylor by 2, right? So Kansas, Arizona, supposed to be at 8:30, but it's college basketball and it won't start then. Houston beats Colorado 77-68 earlier. BYU beat Iowa State. Can you imagine if there would be any kind of trash talk if Texas Tech played in the finals? Now, they still have the semifinals to go tomorrow night, but if Texas Tech were to play BYU, like, Andy Reid doesn't strike me as a betting man at all, but he would have to bet his quarterback something, would he? Like, I'll bet you a quarterback sneak next year. Like, he should do that at least, shouldn't he?
I think that's a little close to the line of what the NFL would like to allow for their players and coaches. But, well, yeah.
But you could do that. I mean, you know, I play this all the time, but 2 years ago, right? 2 years of training camp, this is what Mahomes said about the quarterback sneak.
Probably because my kneecap was on the side of my leg. I think we were doing pretty good until that. We were really good at it until last year. I mean, last year we didn't do very well at it, so we didn't get the one in the preseason. So we've went back and kind of evaluated it, and hopefully by the time season comes around, we can get back to converting those.
Any discussion with Andy about putting that quarterback sneak back in the
play? I always want to, because I always say that I haven't got stopped yet. But because even the one that my knee I got hurt on, I still got the first down.
That's right.
But
that's right.
I'm pretty sure he's not going to let me do it unless it's like for the Super Bowl or not. So I might have to call my own number in the Super Bowl if we get
there.
That's
right. You know what? And doing the Drew and I were doing the Chiefs pregame for the Super Bowl, right? We talked about this cut. I mean, it was never close enough to do this. But if the Super Bowl's on the line, let him sneak it, because it would be the play that nobody would expect. That's what they should bet on this if it gets to be BYU and Texas Tech. And hopefully it is. Hopefully it is. And hopefully that's the bet. If he loses, no quarterback sneak, no big deal. They don't do it anyway. But if Texas Tech would happen to win, you throw that back in the playbook. And I think we'd all like to see that. Well, Brett Veach, Matt Miller all commented on the draft going forward. Last year was about really the inequities of the mid rounds. And of course, you're not going to have Jim Nagy at the Senior Bowl anymore. Last year, he talked about kind of the thinned out fifth round and beyond than previous years. Guys are staying in the school now. They're staying in the school for Neil money. You name it. They're actually more acclimated to play in the National Football League because they took that extra year of college because they're hitting that transfer portal and they're taking the cash and not going to the NFL. So it has thinned out to the fifth or seventh round. Matter of fact, it's watered down the combine to some extent because guys just don't participate in a lot of the drills. Some do. Luther Burden, to his credit, you know, participated, you know, in the drills at the combine, but a lot of guys don't. They wait till their pro days where they get home cooking at their college campus. And the one thing I don't like about players doing this is, one, it spreads thin your scouting staff. Not that they can't figure out a way, but your GM can't be everywhere. And some of these pro days are on the same day. Like, you look at prospects, they're on the same day. And I'll never forget John Dorsey when he was GM. He would watch film of the pro day, but he kind of cared about what the player was doing, but he wanted to know who was there watching the player. Is the GM there? Is the head coach there? Is a positional scout there? What's there? Well, who's there watching said player, and what is the interest? Because a lot of teams, they play it coy. They have these top 30 visits, which, yes, the Chiefs did bring in Kingsley before in a top 30 visit. Sometimes they do draft guys like that. Sometimes they don't. Like a Travis Kelce had no idea the Chiefs were going to draft him. Like a lot of times teams do it as a smokescreen. We don't want people to know who we're drafting. So a lot of times the guys in the later rounds, maybe you can get as an undrafted free agent, they come in for your top 30 visits that you can have because you play the game. Because now is when you play the game. Teams all play the gamesmanship when it leads up to the draft. That's why it's one of the best chess matches going forward. That's the NFL draft. Come up next, though. Didn't get the Matt Miller this segment. I will next segment. We talked too much basketball. By the way, Texas A&M is playing Texas in the SEC. How about that? Good old rivals playing. A&M's got a 2-point lead. Actually, it's just tied up. It's going to overtime. It's played earlier, but it went to two overtimes. And I'll let you know who ends up winning this, but the game is over at this point. But they're showing the highlights now on it. But what Matt Miller had to say more about the draft next. And welcome back to After Hours, Jay Bigland. By the way, Texas did end up beating A&M 94-89 second overtime. Missouri, by the way, 2-point lead on Mississippi State, still 11 minutes, 6 seconds left in the second half in this thriller going on the SEC Network is where you can find this game at now. But Matt Miller was on several times. You heard what he said about Luther Burden, and he's really high on Luther Burden, and I understand why. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you draft the guy. I mean, if you find the value in that guy, you draft him early. I mean, just look at, you know, somebody like Cooper Kupp goes in the third round. You can make an argument he's a first-round type of guy. He would have been a first-round guy. You know, the guy's a Super Bowl MVP. Guy's an all-time leading college receiver in yardage and catches at the FCS level and both levels, to be honest with you, when you combine them both. But he's worth more than a third-round pick. So beauty's in the eye of the beholder in when you draft guys and when you think you should draft them. This is Matt Miller if he thinks the Chiefs would still draft a tackle at 31, and if he thinks if he can get a tackle later on, like how many round one guys do you see? Because last year we saw, what, 7 guys that were offensive tackles in the first round. You're not going to see anywhere near that this year. This is the year of the short arm tackle.
Yeah, I think they could do it. Now, that's a great question. How many are there? I think there are 5 potentially. But the thing with this year is I'm going to rip off this list of names. Every one of these players, except for one, teams have talked about moving to guard. So you have Kelvin Banks from Texas, who I think is a tackle. Will Campbell from LSU came in with very short arms. He's probably going to get moved. You have Membo, our guy from Mizzou, but he's a right tackle. He's never played left tackle. Josh Connerly from Oregon, left tackle, but he might be a guard. And then Josh Simmons from Ohio State, left tackle through and through, but he's coming off a torn patella tendon that happened in October. So his return is like, he said he's going to be cleared mid-April. I'm skeptical of that. I hope that's the case. But those five guys, I think, are true round one tackles.
And tackles will be interesting. Remember, there's 26 of them drafted last year. But it looks like Matt Miller said, you know, these guys are going to move to right tackle. I mean, one of the best tackles in the draft, everybody's talking about Armon Membo of the University of Missouri. But people are talking about moving him to guard. I disagree. People are talking about his height. He's just as tall as, you know, guys like Tristan Wirfs. He's just as tall as Trent Williams. I mean, he ended up being at the combine just as tall as anybody else, but he's a right tackle by trade. Could he move the guard? I'm sure he could. But this is the year of the short-armed offensive lineman. It does matter because these tackles don't exactly have that arm length, and I know it's silly and I'm getting in the weeds with this conversation, but short-arm tackles do matter.
They make it a huge deal. They really do. And, you know, I get the tweets from people who are like, I can't believe you care about this stuff. It's like, I care about it because NFL teams do. And if you're a tackle who has 32-inch arms, well, there's just not a precedent for that, really. And I know you, like, you'll get folks who are like, oh, well, like, it doesn't actually matter. Kind of does. Like, there's never been a tackle drafted with under 32-inch arms since 1999. And even if you look at the guys who are under, like, 32.5, it's like Peter Skoronski, but he's playing guard. Alaric Jackson with the Rams, who just got locked up. He was going to be a free agent. He had 32.5. Like, it's a pretty short list when you get under 33 of guys, especially at left tackle, who've had success. So I look at metrics as, like, what can help me do my job better? If there's you know, a number out there that says, hey, this is our, you got to be this tall to ride the ride. Linebacker. I do think at linebacker, you can find your Nick Bolton replacement, but it doesn't have to be a first-round pick, especially for the way the NFL is going with this, like, those thumpers like Nick Bolton. You don't see a lot of them anymore. You know, everybody's going to kind of this rangier linebacker. I think Barrett Carter from Clemson in round 3, Chris Paul from Ole Miss round 4, Danny Stutzman from OU. Like, I would love him in this defense. He's going to be a round 3, round 4 guy. So, yeah, you can absolutely find a suitable replacement, and it doesn't have to be a top 64 pick.
And they don't need their replacement right now because Nick Bolton coming back with the Chiefs. But 34.25-inch arms is what Andy Reid's his draft at left tackle. That's what they've been. Eric Fisher, by the way, 34.5-inch arms when he was drafted. Kingsley Suamatia, 34.8-inch arms. But you look at the tackles this year, you know, Josh Simmons out of Ohio State, 33-inch arms. Josh Connerly, you've seen him mock the Chiefs a lot, 33.5-inch arms. Ursi is 33.8-inch arms. I mean, I know it sounds weird. And just like Matt says, he's been, you know, he gets hit up about people's arm length. Well, it does matter to NFL teams. That reach does matter when you have those edges coming around the corner. Who's going to be able to block them and who's not going to be able to block them? So there is a standard size. That's why, you know, Tooney did work out, but that's why there was the hesitancy from the coaching staff to moving from guard to tackle, even though he's done it before in a pinch. But when you're asking him to do it against some of the elite pass rushers, which he did a good job until he got to the Super Bowl, he had shorter arms, almost 2-inch shorter arms than what you typically want your left tackle to have. So I just don't see him doing it. I see a lot of these guys, like Matt said there, a lot of these guys will end up being right tackles or move the guard. It's just what they'll do. A pure left tackle is going to be hard-pressed. Even guys like Will Campbell, looked upon, you know, highly in this draft, short arms when it comes to that, as far as what he did at the combine. And that's what a lot of guys measured at, because that's the end-all, be-all. Who cares about their 40 time? You're looking at things like arm length when it comes to who you want to draft. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what they do. Not the first round. You don't necessarily go out and get a tackle there. You don't need to. You are going to have Jalen Moore for 2 years. You can still back away from that if he didn't produce after year one. You can kind of back out of that contract. But if you have a guy, and keep in mind, you know, guys like Jalen Moore, you know, he's not a first-round pick. He's not a first-round pick at all. He's a guy that develops. So if you have the time to develop a player and still get some playing time, like, I think they really thought that Wanye Morris, but obviously that didn't show out very well for the Chiefs as far as what can he do. But even guys like Jalen Moore, here's a guy that's slated to be the Chiefs' left tackle. Now, he played at Western Michigan with Sky Moore when he was there. He was drafted in the fifth round, and that's going to be a starter left tackle. That's a guy that filled in for Trent Williams, the Hall of Famer, in Frisco. So the Chiefs are going with a fifth-round pick to be their starting left tackle. That's fine. He's been in the NFL since 2021, so he's had time, you know, to mature and grow into the position. But it's, you're not asking a rookie to go out and do it. Like, you don't want – you're never going to have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. It's, you never will. Like, if you do have a guy that goes to AFC title games every single year, the Super Bowl, like him, so be it. Good for you. Like, the Patriots will never have a guy as good as Tom Brady. Sorry, they're not going to have a guy win six Super Bowls like he did in New England. Not going to have it happen. I doubt it happens. I mean, they could, I guess, but I doubt it does happen. You fuel it up. You give them the time to throw. You put elite wide receivers. I still think you throw wide receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs. I still think you draft, if not one, but two. And they've been heavily relying on just one. It's like 2 years ago when the draft was in Kansas City. They waited till Friday night when they drafted Wanye and Rashee Rice. That was the only night they went offense because it was all defense, defense, defense with the Chiefs. And I think they'll go heavy on the defensive line this year in the draft. It's not sexy. It's not something fun. You're not going to necessarily go up to St. Joe to see it, you know, materialize. But defensive line, kind of where they need to go in wide receiver. I always think you need to throw darts at wide receiver. It does help if they're going to have Kelce come back. You get a healthy Jared Wiley coming back, the former fourth-round pick for the Chiefs. He'll be healthy this year. And I don't know if that's a guy you want to count on. He did have a good couple of years at TCU, was a former quarterback when he went to Texas, but then he was at TCU. So don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about corner as much in the first round now because you address that in free agency and you're not going to get a tackle in the first round. Coming up next, though, give you more score updates on the Big 12 tournament. We'll kind of look at the draft. Where would you go? And also, how big is the draft? We started talking about it. Is the draft a top three sport in America? We'll discuss that to finish out the show next. Hey, welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley with you. Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Score updates here. Missouri and Mississippi State tied 58-all, 7:47 left in the second in that game. Oklahoma, Kentucky just, well, it's been delayed. It's been delayed, of course. They have to wait for that game to be finished with Missouri, but so they're on that delay. Imagine that, another delay in college basketball. Imagine that happening. As far as mock drafts, have you ever been to mock draft database? I found this gym. I absolutely love this mock draft database. I don't know if you've been there, but it's NFL mock draft database. And instead of searching around to the different publications, you know, you're hopping through SI or Fox Sports or ESPN or CBS. They put them all there. And they'll put the date and who did said mock draft right off the bat. David Hyman did one from Fox Sports, and he had the Chiefs in the first round. And this was just put out today. He had the Chiefs in the first round going Mason Taylor, the tight end of LSU. I think that would be I like Mason Taylor, but I think that's a big stretch. Tyler Warren is worth it, but he's going to be a top 10 pick. No question about that. Josh Edwards, who I really like at CBS in his mocks that he puts out, and he had the Chiefs going at pick 31, Savon Revell Jr., that corner out of East Carolina. That's who we had in our first mock draft before the Chiefs signed Fulton. So we had the Chiefs going corner because he's a great corner to come up in run support and whatever you have, but that's one of some of the latest mock drafts that came out. NFL Spin Zone, they did it as well. And again, a lot of these mock drafts still have the Chiefs going offensive linemen. I don't understand that. Here's interior lineman Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State. Again, tell me the last time Brett Veach drafted somebody at Ohio State, but that's who they had the Chiefs going with at 31. And I just don't see the Chiefs doing that whatsoever. Yahoo Sports did a mock draft as well. Draft Countdown did one. USA Today, I usually like their mock drafts as well. Michael Schwartz did this one, and they had the Chiefs at 31 going with Igbuka, the wide receiver at Ohio State. Again, I don't know why they don't do it. Maybe it's the pro day times that they have at Ohio State. Not sure, but they just don't go Ohio State, which, by the way, they've got Will Campbell once again going to your Pats. I've seen a lot of Will Campbell going at number four to New England as Vrabel building up that offensive line. I don't see it as a threat, though. I see the same teams, and who knows what the Bengals are doing. The T. Higgins, you know, his contract's still sitting out there. He's been tagged for the second time. Trey Hendrickson, they're probably asking. It sounds like they're asking too much for him. Guys led the NFL in sacks the last 2 years combined. As far as the sacks he's had concerned, had under 17 last year. Want too much compensation, maybe back. They got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. He's the Triple Crown winner. They're going to pay him the bank. They're going to do it, but how good are the Bengals going to be? You know, you'd like to think that they're going to be a team that's viable. I mean, they were a decent team last year. They just lost a lot of close games, and you just can't afford to keep doing that. And that's what they did. Buffalo, I can see Buffalo still being a good team. I mean, Josh Allen, your MVP. I don't think Baltimore's going anywhere. They've got to start proving some more things in the playoffs going forward. But I think you're looking at the same kind of upper tier. I don't know which team's going to make that jump. I thought maybe the Houston Texans would take that jump from year one to year two, but I don't think they were as good in year two as they were in year one. Yeah, they're still a playoff team, but I felt like Stroud was better his rookie year than he was his second year. Hey, still a good football player, but I just didn't see it. You know, the Jets experiment and all the money that they've spent didn't work out. Jacksonville took a step back once they started building forward. They took a step back with Trevor Lawrence, and they're not ready for prime time. Cleveland is a total mess at this point. So I think it's going to be a lot of the same suspects that are still good in the AFC. I think that New England's one of those teams with Vrabel. It's not going to take them long. I don't see it being this year, but he's a good head coach, great head coach. I love what he's doing and what he's been able to do and how he talent evaluates and what he did at Tennessee. I think they're going to be a better team. Miami was a team that you were expecting to take steps forward, and they took steps back. They didn't keep parlaying that success, you know, in the playoffs and moving forward. They just didn't do it. The NFC, I think, will be interesting. It's not the 49ers. They've gotten rid of basically everybody. Philadelphia, they've lost people, but they have drafted well, and Philadelphia's not going anywhere. They're going to be tough. Detroit should be good again next year. Washington is the team to watch for. Washington's made some great moves. Washington got the best quarterback in the draft in Jaden Daniels. Wasn't Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Now, Chicago, I mean, this is make or break. I mean, they've gone out and spent the bank on building up their offensive line. They bring in Joe Tooney from the Chiefs. They brought in a guard, new center, with Dolman coming from Atlanta. They're building up that offensive line, so there's no excuses anymore for Chicago, but I don't think they're ready for primetime. I think it's going to be the Eagles. I think it's definitely going to be the Rams. I don't think they're going anywhere. Davante Adams, even though they're going to lose Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams makes a big difference with the Los Angeles Rams. But, you know, interesting things. AFC, by the way, Joey Bosa, if he can stay healthy. To me, that's an upgrade over the aging Von Miller, who's gone now for Buffalo. It'll be interesting to see which direction they go. Kind of glad Myles Garrett stayed where he's at, because Myles Garrett's not a threat in Cleveland. And how funny was that, that he wanted to go to contender, wanted to go to a winner? I mean, he was trash in the Browns.
Money talks.
Oh, you're going to pay me? What? Oh, I'll stay. I'll stay with Cleveland. My bad. My bad. Cleveland's great.
Give me $40 million a year, and I will stay anywhere.
But I'm good with him being there, right? He's the best pass rusher in the NFL, in my opinion. Trey Hendrickson right there, and T.J. Watt right there as well. But I'm good with him staying in Cleveland. Why not? Myles Garrett, stay in Cleveland. Don't be a threat to anybody else when it comes down to the postseason, because they still the quarterback position's been a debacle for the Browns, as they made the worst deal in the history of the NFL, bringing in Deshaun Watson. Which, by the way, remember when everybody wanted Watson over Mahomes? That was a big thing. Everybody wanted Deshaun Watson to come to Kansas. Can you imagine if he would have come to Kansas City instead of Mahomes? Can you imagine the kind of predicament they'd still be in if they would have gotten Watson instead of Patrick?
Hey, they just traded for Kenny Pickett.
Who does fancy himself as an NFL starter. He does. He fancies himself at that. So that'd be interesting to keep watching these mocks. We'll be doing a full Chiefs one on character concerns here soon now that the comp picks have been put out. The Chiefs have Mr. Relevant this year. That'll be interesting to see if they actually keep Mr. Relevant or not. But you'll have Mr. Relevant. You've had him before. It was Ryan Succop. So the Chiefs have had Mr. Relevant before. 2 years ago, Mr. Relevant still with the Rams as a pass rusher. It can't happen. Brock Purdy's Mr. Relevant.
Yeah, you see that in the NBA as well. Isaiah Thomas, the most probably notable now, even though he's out of the league. But
you know they have a big parade for Mr. Relevant? They do it out in California. They have the Mr. Relevant parade. They go out there and they have fun with them. But anyway, thanks a ton, guys. Jacob Mustard, great to work with you, my friend. Jason High as well. Great working with you, gentlemen. See you guys later. McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs to join me next Wednesday. Good night, everybody. Stay safe.